Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, U.S. beef exports to sub-Saharan Africa set a new record in 2020, reaching nearly 27,000 metric tons, valued at $23.4 million. Most of these shipments were beef variety meat, including items such as beef livers, kidneys, and hearts. Matt Copeland, U.S. Meat Export Federation representative in the region, explains more about the expanding beef export market in sub-Saharan Africa.
It's a populous region. We know that up to 2100, we'll still see huge growth rates in population here. And feeding those folk, we've got to be front-footed and we've got to be paving the way and pioneering for our members. So I'm excited because I think we've got a good foothold. We've got good communication channels open with all the major players in the region. South Africa is becoming a more important market in terms of beef variety meats coming here. Angola, Gabon, Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, Senegal, Guinea. And then Mozambique, they're starting to use a bit more of the product. Australia used to have a higher market share percentage in terms of their offal exports. But slaughter numbers in Australia are really low. The UK and Ireland are doing the same thing. So there is a shortage from them. So we have a shortage. We have demand for the product. And you have an abnormal protection for chicken. In South Africa, there is a 62% duty placed on chicken imports, particularly brown meat. But that is beautiful for us because it means you get to trade up into that space.
To move the market beyond beef variety meat, USMEF is promoting ungraded beef cuts to key buyers.
It can't be given a USDA grading because of the age of the animal. So the animal is older than 3 years, so it makes no role. But when you break that carcass down and you cut out the prime muscle cuts, the marble score in that product, for me in South Africa, it beats some of our Wagyu genetics. That product has a little bit more age to it, but in terms of flavor profile and in terms of tenderness, it's really, really amazing. In the hands of the right chef, that product is an absolute win. In terms of price, it's probably trading at 70% of choice. So for an entry point, if you're in a very price-sensitive market, it makes all the sense in the world to take that product.
And for more information, you can visit usmef.org to learn more about the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Well, dairy markets appear to have stabilized after the uncertainty of 2020. Ryan Doherty, senior market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, says despite more stability, there are some warning signs ahead in the dairy market.
Oh, I think there's some warning signs, and it's production. We've just been at this for a long time, and if you really stop and look at the production capability that our producers today have versus even a decade ago, or particularly 20 or 30 years ago, it's been a revolution. When you get high prices, you get some natural expansion. When you have good foodstuffs, and for the most part, we've had good crops in the dairy producing region. So there's feed availability. I think that's our sort of our biggest wet rag is just we're good at what we do.
He says one hedge against future uncertainty is potential demand.
Don't underestimate the demand markets worldwide, especially as we come out of COVID. But still, it looks like the market has a couple of times now been way at the forefront of that. And then we kind of get the rug pulled out from under us. And yet those rallies, I think, have kept the production cycle active and alive. And the last several production reports have indicated that.
There will likely be some future government support coming into the dairy market as well.
It will. And I've always said over the years, don't try and spend too much time trying to outguess what politicians are going to try and outguess. But there's going to be some support out of this. There will be what the numbers actually turn out in the timetable for when we see this support. But there will be support. But we've got to recognize that when these things do cycle back into the market, I think now twice the market has kind of got a taste of it and realized bears are ready to go when this comes in because they know this is short-lived, whether it's a two-month window or six, it still has a short-lived shelf life.
That's Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. The National Potato Council is encouraging Mexico Supreme Court justices to vote for a draft ruling that would overturn Mexico's ban on U.S. fresh potato imports. NPC CEO Cam Quarles says this is clearly a very important step in clearing the way for fresh potatoes in Mexico.
A draft ruling has come out of the Mexican Supreme Court that, as you say, would effectively end at least the legal part of this 20-year plus ban on U.S. potatoes being able to be shipped to Mexico.
A positive vote on this draft ruling, Quarles says, would be huge for the industry.
That vote is actually going to take place on Wednesday. And the ruling, the draft ruling, is very emphatic. It hits every single point that we needed it to hit to overturn this ban. We're just hopeful that the votes are there from the other justices to make it actually Supreme Court precedent.
Quarles says Mexico does currently allow fresh potatoes into a limited area, but that only covers roughly 26 miles from the U.S.-Mexico border.
There's no scientific reason why that 26-kilometer area exists. It was really a way for, I think the officials at the time to say, we're dealing with this very difficult trade issue with the United States, but we're also protecting our industry from the competition that they fear.
A simple majority vote by the Mexican Supreme Court would pass the measure. And just over a month ago, the National Pork Board invited Americans who wanted to get more active and kick off their 2021 wellness plans to join the journey through the Fresh Start Wellness Challenge. Kara Belke, Director of Nutrition and Dietetics with the National Pork Board, says the results are in, and over 2,100 people from all walks of life participated.
If we look at the total steps and total active minutes, we had about 2 million active minutes, and we completed, our total distance was 185,000 miles. That's about 7.5 times walking around the earth. So again, the people who signed up really challenged themselves and pushed themselves and got out there and got active.
Belke says the wellness challenge is part of the new strategy by pork producers to meet consumers where they live with information about how pork can be part of their overall fitness program.
And there are new rules of engagement, and consumers are changing the way they think about food. So we have to update our messaging and approach if we want to be relevant with today's consumer, and if we want to be part of their decision set when they're deciding what to have for dinner. So we have to show up different, we have to talk different, and we have to understand their needs so that we can become more relevant and help grow demand for our product.
Belke says understanding why people participated will help develop similar programs for this important audience. She says by helping participants achieve their goals, the pork industry is building a relationship with them while working on becoming a trusted source of information.
So 33% of participants wanted to create healthier habits, and 28% was just trying to increase their physical activity. There were a few people, 13% wanted to win. They wanted the free groceries for a year grand prize that we were offering. And 18% of consumers also said it sounded like fun. They just wanted a fresh start.
According to Belke, the personal leaders of this challenge each reached about 1 million steps during that 28-day period, and that works out to just over 35,000 steps per day. More information on pork's nutritional value and how it can help you meet your fitness goals is available at pork.org. And a reminder, if you think you have a story of interest here for American Ag Today, you can reach me via email at jesseallen@americanagnetwork.com. That's J-E-S-S-E-A-L-L-E-N at americanagnetwork.com. And thank you once again for listening to another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you and yours a great rest of your day.